Okay, today we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 24 begins our 18th study in this book. It says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. Joash wasn't even a toddler when his life was saved by his aunt. Well, 6 years later, he's the king of Judah at age 7. And Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada the priest was a great man of God, who was the behind-the-scenes reason that Joash was a good king. Jehoiada got for him 2 wives, and he had sons and daughters. And of course, Joash did not get married when he was 7. He was married when he was old enough to handle it. And even this was directed by the good priest Jehoiada, his spiritual advisor. Verse 4, after this, Joash decided to restore the house of the Lord. The temple needed remodeling. And Joash, who had proper priorities at this time, made sure that it was taken care of. Verse 5, and he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out to the cities of Judah and gather them from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year and see that you act quickly. But the Levites did not act quickly. Well, Joash was in a hurry. The temple was in tough shape and needed fixing right away. But the Levites were dragging their heels when it came to collecting the temple tax to pay for these repairs. So verse 6 says, the king summoned Jehoiada the chief and said to him, why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and Jerusalem the tax levied by Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the congregation of Israel for the tent of testimony? They didn't have funds for the upkeep of God's house because they had not obeyed the Lord and collected the taxes for it according to the word of God. And Jehoiada is asked why this was not done. I mean, after all, he was in charge of the temple. Verse 7, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken into the house of God and had also used all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord for the Baals. Wicked men had broken into the house of God and taken all the gold and silver vessels and used them in the temple of their false gods. That's another reason they needed money for the holy temple. 8. So the king commanded, and they made a chest and set it outside the gate of the house of the Lord. Well, the king had an offering box placed outside the temple. And it says in verse 9, and proclamation was made throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring in for the Lord the tax that Moses, the servant of God, laid on Israel in the wilderness. This tax refers to the half-shekel temple tax, which all adults were to pay every year for the temple operations. Verse 10, and all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought their tax and dropped it into the chest until they had finished. They kept giving until everybody gave their part. They kept giving until the chest was full. 11, and whenever the chest was brought to the king's officers by the Levites, when they saw that there was much money in it, the king's secretary and the officer of the chief priest would come and empty the chest and take it and return it to its place. Thus they did day after day and collected money in abundance. The people had a heart for God, and they proved it with their giving. People who love God are not stingy toward God. 12. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to those who had charge of the work of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of the Lord, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Lord. In other words, they completed the temple project. They spent the money, and the money the money was spent in a proper way. The people gave, and those in charge made sure that the funds were used in the right way. And it says in verse 13, So those who were engaged in the work labored, and the repairing went forward in their hands, and they restored the house of God to its proper condition and strengthened it. The project was completed. And when they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, and with it were made utensils for the house of the Lord, both for the service and for the burnt offerings, and dishes for incense, and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord regularly all the days of Jehoiada. Jehoiada was a good spiritual leader. So for all the days that he was alive, the temple worship operated according to the word of God. 15. But Jehoiada grew old and full of days and died. And he was 130 years old at his death. And that was a long life in those days. You know, it wasn't like in the earlier days of Scripture, back in Genesis, where people routinely lived to be 100 and some, and of course, in the very early days, several hundred years old. But he lived a very long life. God kept him around a long time because apparently his influence was needed. 16. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel and toward God and his house. And so Jehoiada the priest, his burial was one of the highest honors anyone in Israel could receive. Everybody appreciated this man, at least the population as a whole, those who were given over to serving God themselves. 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the princes of Judah came and paid homage to the king. Then the king listened to them, and they paid homage, all right. Some leaders whose love for idolatry was suppressed during the life of Jehoiada now come out of the closet, as it were, and they are influencing Joash in the wrong way. Verse 18. And they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this guilt of theirs. When one deserts God, they can expect trouble from God. And that is exactly what happened in Judah. Verse 19. Yet he sent prophets among them to bring them back to the Lord. These testified against them, but they would not pay attention. They were so deep into their sin that warnings from God didn't even faze them. 20. Then the Spirit of God clothed Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you break the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you." This was actually the grandson of the great priest Jehoiada. He proclaimed the word of God in the assembly of the people. He was saying, "What's the matter with you people? You're turning your back on God, and you're paying for it." Well, look at verse 21. But they conspired against him, and by command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Look how far Joash had fallen from the earlier days when Jehoiada the priest was alive. Joash is now killing the prophet of God. Verse 22. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness that Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had shown him, but killed his son, and when he was dying, he said, "May the Lord see and avenge." One mark of godliness, I should say godlessness, is ungratefulness. And Joash, he was blessed to have the friendship and the sound godly advice of Jehoiada for many, many years. And here he says thank you by killing Jehoiada's righteous grandson. He has really fallen away from God. 23. At the end of the year, the army of the Syrians came up against Joash. They came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. It did not happen immediately, but when the time was right, God punished the king and the nation for their idolatry and for the murder of his holy prophet. They were defeated in war by the Syrians. 24. Though the army of the Syrians had come with few men, the Lord delivered into their hand a very great army, because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Thus they executed judgment on Joash. And there is no power on earth powerful enough to stop God when he says it's time to punish. Judah found that out when little Syria whipped their big army. It was God. It was God helping Syria, punishing his people. Verse 25, when they had departed from him, leaving him severely wounded, his servants conspired against him because of the blood of the son of Jehoiada the priest, and killed him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David. But they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. The people understood the problems in Israel were the result of the king turning his back on Almighty God. The people knew that. And so they killed him on his sickbed, and no one missed him after he was gone either. Joash is another example of a good man gone bad, a God-fearing man who changed his ways for the worse. Don't let anyone ever tell you that that cannot happen. There are too many examples in Scripture of it happening. 26. Those who conspired against him were Zabad, the son of Shimeath, the Ammonite, and Jehozabad, the son of Shimrith, the Moabite. The accounts of his sons and of the many oracles against him and of the rebuilding of the house of God are written in the story of the book of the Kings, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his place. And the life of Joash stands as a warning to those who once had a heart for God, but then turned their back on him. If one begins to willfully sin, then all the work that previously had been put into a godly life will be for nothing. It'll be forgotten. This is also verified in Ezekiel chapter 18. Next time, chapter 25. Until then, so long, everyone.